Today's daf in Masechet Yomah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Zayin, and we are holding Tana Kishu Mazeh, which is about a quarter of the way down. Okay, so let's just remember what has happened so far. We've managed to learn out the dinim of the par from the Sayer in terms of one above, and also in terms of what the din of Al would actually mean, that it doesn't mean to touch. We've learned out the Sayer from the par, that there's a din of Sheva. We've learned out Pnim from Chutz. We had something of a tussle yesterday in trying to figure out how we could also learn Pnim from, Chutz mi Pnim, the Hecha, that is to say, from Lefnai v'Lefnim, how we were allowed to do that since it's a Lomad min HaLomad, because both of them are Hekeshim. And we tried a couple of approaches, either because it's a Hekesh, which is Heimenu v'davar acher, because since the first Hekesh actually is only the peripherals are learned from the Inyanim of the Hekesh, but the main din is learned directly from what it says. It says, Al HaKaparot v'lifnei HaKaparot, on both of them. So, but that would only be true according to the Man D'Omar who holds that Heimenu v'davar acher is okay. So we had two other approaches. One approach was that the halacha is that if you're talking about two completely different topics, so then it's not considered to be lomad min alomad. In other words, one of the hekeshim is talking about the dam and how it is that we do the dam, and the other hekesh is talking about places, that the heichal has the same din as the kodesh hakodesh. So once we've established the place, now we do whatever it is that we know about doing it in the other place. And then we had the third approach, which was not as clear, in which there's a lot of discussion among Rishonim how exactly to understand Bevat Achat. But I think probably the nicest explanation is the one that's brought in Tosis, but it follows Rashi's approach. Namely, that, look, it says the Chen Taaseh, right? So V'chein Taaseh Lo'olam Moed, essentially, we know exactly what we need to do. And that is, we need to do the Al HaKaparot, V'lifnei HaKaparot. Since V'chein Taaseh is a single statement, you can't start splitting up what that means and say, well, let's pretend we don't know what the Al HaKaparot, V'lifnei HaKaparot means exactly, even though it says so beferish in the Pasuk that we should do the same thing in the Olam Moed. That's ridiculous. If you won't know what to do, you won't know what to do. V'chein Taaseh means do exactly what you did. So the fact that I'm learning, that I'm applying Al HaKaparot V'lifnei HaKaparot to Al HaParochet V'lifnei HaParochet, that it says beferish, both by the Dam HaPar and by the Dam HaSoyer. What that means exactly, what am I supposed to do? Nothing. So what that means was defined indeed in the location, was defined by the detailed Hekeshim that compared the Dam HaPar to the Dam HaSoyer. But once we need to apply the dinim, so then it's as it says in the Gemara, the Lashon, it's Bevat Achat. We're learning out in a one fell swoop. This is what it means when you say V'chein Taaseh, and you cannot be mavdo between them. Okay, so this is the summary of where we were up to. And let's continue today. Tan, kishu mazeh, eno mazeh al haparochet ela keneged haparochet. So just like we said about the kaporet, the same thing is true about the parochet. When you do the parochet, you certainly don't sprinkle on the actual parochet, but you go towards the top, and you go towards the bottom, but it's lifnei haparochet. No dam actually touches that parochet. Omar Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yosi, I'm sorry to disagree with you based on actual evidence. It happens to be that ani re'itia b'Romi, remember that I got into the Vatican, remember the whole story, when I was in Rome, the parochet had on it blood that I know came from the Parvus Erech Yom HaKippurim. Now, you remember the story that we had with Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yosi, and what it was that had happened with him. Remember that there was this Ben Tamalion which was the shade that had gotten into Caesar's daughter in order to be able to give an excuse to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi when he was brought. So they brought him in, and he cured Caesar's daughter, who had gone completely insane. And they gave him the option of going into the secret storerooms of Rome and taking whatever it is that he wanted. So all he wanted actually were the bills that had been passed by the Senate about the mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael wasn't going to be allowed to perform. And he took those and ripped them up. That was why he went in there. But meanwhile, while he went in there, he was able to see, as Rebbe Vega brings over here from the Ovisar Rabbi Narsen, that the tzitz is there, and even the machteshet that was used to make the keteris in Beit Aftinas is there, the mortar, that was there in Rome, and the menorah is there, and he got to see also the parochet. And he is telling us that he knows that there was blood on the parochet. So, I mean, they must have held that they're supposed to put the blood on the parochet. First of all, I mean, what do you mean you know what it was? Remember, there's a lot of different things that are brought on the parochet. Because, I mean, you could have the parhelem davershel tzibur, you know. That's brought inside, and that's on the parochet. Or you could have siri avodah zarah. So how is he so sure that the dam on the parochet was on the parochet from Yom Kippur, and that therefore he should argue on what ala parochet v'lifnei parochet would mean? Ah, he knew because the Chazon Davidi Kesidron. Now this is the raya, as the Shonim points out, the raya that Rashi's pshat is absolutely correct, and that the meaning of kemagadna, which is kemat sliv, is that you do one under the other, because that's exactly what he's saying. I can tell that this wasn't random sprinkling, which would have been the case if we were talking about the Parhelem Davershel Tzibur, or if we were talking about Seirei Avodah Zarah. I could tell that they were specifically placed one beneath the other. And that was Kabagana. So he saw David Kesidran. Now, it's interesting that we have a Braita that actually has the same discussion, but in the inverse. By the Parhelem Davershel Tzibur, we also learned, Tzanan Namigabi Parhelem Davershel Tzibur, exactly the same thing. It should probably say Vitanya. There isn't a Mishnah like this. But remember, as we've mentioned, all of this tremendous diak in the Tanan and the Tanya is not really all that important, because sometimes we'll use one for the other, where it's Pirushan and Mishnah, and it's a love, you know, love dafka. Anyway, so it says over there, what is Lamaisa Braisa, Kishuhu Mazeh, when they would bring the Parhelem Davershel Tzibur, it would not touch the actual parochet, although it doesn't matter, im nagu nagu. If it did touch, it wasn't a psul, but it certainly wasn't part of what needed to be done. And there, too, we find Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi saying, I beg to disagree, because aniri itia baromi, I saw the parochet when I was in Rome, and I saw that there were kamatipe dami, Shopar Helam Dover Shotzibor Visire Avadizara. Well, how do you know? Maybe it was the Parvasar Shoyoma Kippurim. I mean, after all, you yourself said that you did see the blood from Yom Kippurim. So now why all of a sudden are we hearing that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi says, I'm sure that I saw dam from Par Helam Dover Shotzibor? How did he know? Because there was also dam that was randomly scattered and that was not Kesidra. So the Chazanu de Avidei Shelo Kesidran. So therefore, he was able to be made on both of these dami. Okay, what happens, says the Gemara, if the damim get mixed up? So is there anything to do? Says Rav, of course there is. There's no problem. All you need to do is, because remember that Eulen Enam Mevatlim Zoazo. So if you have dam, the dam never becomes batal. So what you do is, you do achas lamala, v'sheva lamata, and that counts for both. It counts both for the par and for the soyer, because since you did a lamala and lamata on both the par and the soyer, it's fine. So they said over to Reb Yirmiya what Rava said. He said, these guys in Bavel are so stupid that it's mind-boggling. I don't know how they get away with this, but you know, what can you do? They live in a land of darkness, So they say things that are completely dark and don't make any sense. They just get you, they darken your eyes from hearing what they say. I mean, do you understand how ridiculous this is? According to what Rava just said, what the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing is giving the dam lamala of the Sayer before he gives the dam lamata of the par. Now, we understand that to be possible. Didn't we learn out that that's possible? The Torah says, v'chila mikaperet hakodesh, first complete the dam hapar, and then go in, take the dam aser, and do the same thing. You can't do it this way. Say, you'll do it simultaneously, shtol biyotze both. Kale dam hapar, v'chila mikaper et hakodesh. Kale dam hapar, complete the par, and then finish. Achar kach kale dam aser. So this is ridiculous. I'll tell you what you could do, though, says Rabbi Yirmiyah. What you could do is you could do once lamala and seven lamata with in mind that you're doing this l'shem hapar. Because since, anyway, dam is not mevatel zezeh, and the dam asoyer can't be put on at that time, so it doesn't count as if you gave it. So fine, you were yotzi that way if you do it. And then you can go back and be again notain from the same cup that has dam asoyer. Now you give the dam l'shem dam asoyer. So chozer v'notain achat lamala v'shev lamata, the dam ha-sa'ir. So that way, everything is in the correct seder. Okay, let me ask you something else. Suppose the dam only gets mixed up after you already did the achas lamala of the par. So what do you do then? Nisarvu lo domim bedomim, but only on the last seven matones of the par. So Sarva Rav Papa Kameda Rava Lameimah, so Rav Papa said, well, what you can do is, you can do the Sheva Lamata and do only the Sheva Lamata L'Shem Par V'L'Shem Sa'ir, and then you can go back to do the Achas Lamala L'Shem the Sa'ir. Says Rava, boy, oh boy. If until now they thought we were dumb, now they're going to have us committed. Until now they said we were stupid. Ad hash to call on Tipshoy. Now they're going to call us Tipshoy did Tipshoy. Like we're totally off the wall. I mean, what you're saying is ridiculous. They're going to say, you know, you try to teach these fools and they can't understand what you're telling them. Don't you understand that what you're saying is completely ridiculous? Because over here, not only are you messing everything up the way I said it, but over here you're going to actually take the dam, which is the, instead of the dam al, which is supposed to come al before the lifnei, you're going to do the lifnei before the al, right? Because you're going to put the dam lamata before the dam lamala. Because saying after you did everything, then you should go back and give the dam of the sarm. That's totally ridiculous. Atoram ratein lamala v'charkach lamata. I mean, we have chukah. Chukah said you can't do it that way. You're gonna actually passel it if you try to do it that way. Elo amarava. Look, what you now we understand what to do. First, you do the sheva lamata l'shem par. Why not? You already did the achas lamala. So now you have dam of the par. The fact that the dam of the sar is mixed in it is no tragedy. So you do that. L'shem the par, and then you go back and you do the entire seder of the Sayer. Chozer v'noten achas lamala v'sheva lamata l'shem Sayer in the correct order. Okay, I got another question. Suppose you get the kosot mixed up. You don't know which is the kos of the dam of the par and which of the kos is the dam of the Sayer. Now, even though we said before that it's easy to tell because of the amount. But remember, we said that in the event that some of it has spilled out, you have the same amount, you won't be able to tell by the amount. So we said, but you could tell by the coloration. So, okay, maybe we're talking about over here that the Kohen Gadol does not have that sort of eyesight and he's a zaken, whatever. Okay, in any event, what would you do then? Well, what you could do is, you could take from one cup, notain, and you do the achas lamala, sheva lamata, And then you take the other cup, Achas Lamala and Sheva Lamata. And then you take the first cup again, and you go Chozer V'Notein. You do this, you have to do this three times, because you don't know whether the first cup you gave was indeed the cup of the par, and then the second one was the sir, and everything was fine, or whether the first cup that you did was the Dama Sawyer, and therefore it didn't count. And now the second cup was the Dama par, and now you have to go back and take the first cup, which now contains the Dama Sawyer, which will now be done La'akha the Dama par. So it's very simple. But no matter what, there's always what to do. Okay, what about this? I got another question for you. Let's say that a part of the dam of the par and a part of the dam of the sawyer got mixed up in a third kos. So now we have three kosot. So the first kos has pure dam of par, second kos is pure dam of sawyer, the third kos has mixed dam of par, dam of sawyer. Now, obviously, I mean, I'm not so stupid. Obviously, when you're going to give it, you're going to use the kosot that are clearly differentiated. Well, why would I give the mixed kosot? So, ki yoiv mi vadoin yoiv. When I come to give the dama par, I take it from the kosot of the dama par. Which, why would I take it from the mixed kosot? When it's time to take the dama soyer, I'll take it from the dama soyer kosot. Why would I take it mixed from the mixed kosot? My question is more subtle. My question is like this. I want to know whether the leftover dam that I did not use, which was in the third cup. So I want to know what their din is. Are they considered to be the shiore hadam? Are they leftovers? And therefore, if they're leftovers, as we know, the Torah said, that shiore hadam yishpocha yisod ha-mizbeach, mizbeach ha-olah. So you have to put it on the yisod of the mizbeach ha-olah. Or do we say that since they were mixed and I wasn't able to use that blood l'chatchila, and that's why I chose to use the blood in the kos that was unmixed, both for the par and the soyer. So essentially what I did is I rejected the third kos. Now, if I reject the third kos, then they're considered to be dechuyin. And if they're dechuyin, they do not have a din of shirayim. They're not put on the mizbeach, and instead they go straight to the stream, the ama, in which anything that is posel gets washed out of the azara. So what do we do with it? Amrav Papa, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that even though we're going to see in a moment that there's a machlokas about whether in the event that you have been mekabel the dam of a chatas in two separate kosot, and you use only the dam in, let's say, kos A. So there's a Mandi Omar who says, that's okay. Even though you use Kos A, Kos B could have been used. And therefore, Kos B is considered to be Shirayim. Whatever left over in Kos B is put onto the Yisrael Mizbeach and not into the Amah. But that would not apply here, because that would only be true. Ani Milihecha, the Iboy Lameta Matziyoyev. That's where it was up to you. You could have chosen Kos A or could have chosen Kos B. There was nothing wrong with the dam in Kos B. So over there, I understand that that dam is also considered to be proper Shirayim and would be put on the Yisod of the Mizbeach. But in this case, you really don't have that option, because since you have the unmixed blood, you are going to be constrained to use the unmixed blood. And therefore, Avahai de'iboy lametav lo matziyoyv, even if you wanted to, this is not the correct kos to use, that third mixed kos. So the third mixed kos was sitting there basically very sad and rejected, and therefore it does not belong on the Yisod HaMizbeach. And I think in this case, everyone would agree that for sure, it's not considered to be Shirayim, it's considered to be Dechuyim. Ravuna Bered Rav Yehoshua said to Rav Papa, and fascinating, because I would say exactly the opposite, okay? What I would say is that even according to the Mandi Omar, who says that when you are mekabel regular dam in two kosot, one kos, if used, and other one, if not used, the kos that is used turns the other kos into being dachui, and it has to be thrown out into the ama, and it's not put on the mizbeach, which was the other sheet that we'll see later on. That's only true where you chose arbitrarily that I don't want to use it. So then you were doche et biyadayim. But in this case, I wasn't doche et biyadayim. And therefore, I took what I needed to take. But this dam, in the event that those other kosot were not available, would have been perfectly okay to take. And I didn't in any event choose anything that showed that I didn't want to take this kos. It just wasn't in the offering for me, you know. It wasn't on the tray that was presented for me to choose between. So that's not called dichli. And on the contrary, in this case, everybody is made that the third mixed cup is considered to be shirayim and not dichli. Fascinating issues that we've spoken about before, Masechet Zvachim, about what really constitutes the dichli biyadayim. Anyway, all right, both shitas over here, we're talking about a machlokas that they were taking for granted that we were aware of, right? And that is kos echot ose chavero dichli, or is kos echot ose chavero shirai? Where is that machloket? The Tanya. This machloket is nogea in this braita, where it says, here it's talking about, it, not that it's important to us, but because wherever the Torah was megala, the dinner was megala, but it happens to be that this pasuk is talking about the shiore adam of a chatat nasi. So the lashon over there is, ve'et damo yishpoch o yisod mizbach ha'ola. So, et damo is its blood. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't say you have to take all of its blood. Now, in the other pasuk that's right beneath this, and this is talking about the shirayim of a regular chatas of a hedyot, there it said, ve'et kol dama yishpoch o yisod ha'mizbeach. Now, what is the reason for that? How come it says all of the blood in one case, and it just says blood in the other case? And there's certainly no difference in terms of the soyer of a nasi or a seira of a yachid. I mean, that doesn't make any sense, that there's somehow some difference between kol adam or domo. I mean, it's got to be telling us that there's different cases. Sometimes at domo yishpoch for a chatas, and sometimes kol domo yishpoch. That is to say, that there are times when we have a broader description of the nature of shirayim, and sometimes less. Sometimes not all the leftover dam is shirayim. So this is the yisod of the question that we saw before as a machlokas. And here is the machlokas. So it continues the braisa. Minayin lechatat shekibel dama be'arba kosot, v'natan mizeh echad shekulan nishpachin liyisod. How do you know that if you were mekabel, the dam of a chatas, which remember requires four separate applications to the mizbeach, because the chatas isn't nizrak, the chatas is put on by the finger on the actual keren of the mizbeach. So how do I know that if I took four separate cups, and the blood was spurting from the shechita, and I filled up these four separate cups, and then I went and I used one cup per dipping my finger for that keren. So it means I used every single cup. Each one of those cups creates the shirayim of what's left inside of itself, of course. Kulan mar nishpachu miyisod, and it's not just a matter of taking a sample of blood, but all the shirayim. Talmud Amar ve'et kol dama yishpoch. That's where the Torah means to teach us that all of the shirayim have to be poured to the yisod. Now, you might think that in the event that you had four separate cups and you just choose one of those cups and you use that cup to give all four of the applications of the dam, so you might think that even in that case, all of the leftovers of the other cups are considered to be shirayim. Talmud lomar ve'et damo yishpoch, only its blood, meaning only the dam from the coast that was utilized, that is considered to be shirayim. The rest of them is considered to be dochui, because you chose one cup out of the four. So Talmud lomar ve'et damo yishpoch, which teaches me hu nishpach liyasod ve'hein nishpach la'ama. So whatever was dochui biyadayim is out the drain in the ama. Now, this is the Tanakhama, but Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, and here's the opposite case, and that's what we were referring to, the opposite Shita. מנין לכתה שקיבל אדם ארבע ארבע כסוד ונתן ארבע מתנות מאחד מהן? How do we know that even if you took all of the ארבע מתנות of the חטאת, you put them on the מזבח from one out of four כסות? How do we know שכולם נשפחים ליסוד? And that all of the shiraim in all of the four kosot are poured out onto the yesod ha-mizbeach, Talmud lomar vet kol dama ishpoch. But Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon didn't explain the other pasuk. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon didn't say, and when does it say vet dama ishpoch? He only explained when it says it kol dama ishpoch. According to him, how does he explain that case? Hachti vet dama ishpoch, doesn't it? So, there's got to be a case where the Shiraim do not include all of the above. What's that case? Om Rav Ashi, that case, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, is referring to do not include any Shiraim that were left in the Tzavara Beima. So even though he should have taken all of the Dam HaNefesh, but if he didn't, then you do not view any Dam that is left in the actual animal and was not Mekubal Bekos, they are definitely not called Shiraim. That's all Nishpach La'ama. That's according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So the references that were being made in the previous discussion about which way do we go, is this considered to be more Dachui or less Dachui? If I was Docha B'Yadayim, or if it was Nitcha because it was unusable being in that third mixed cup, was referring to the two Shitot here in this bright. Okay, let's get back to the Halakha Mishnah, which continued. Ira dama par letoch dama sa'ir. Now, that means that the Mishnah is sticking its neck out to paskin like one of the shitot and not the other, because we're going to see that there's actually a machloket about whether me'arvim likranot or not. So there, remember that we have two sets of zrikas hadam on the Mizbach HaZahav. One of them is on the Arba Karnot HaMizbeach, and one of them is on Tiharosh HaMizbeach, which is the actual surface of the Mizbeach. So everybody agrees that when it comes to the seven times that you sprinkle on the actual Mizbeach itself, that is done from a mixture of the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSar. The question is, did the mixing take place prior to the application of the dam on the Karnot Mizbach HaZahav? Or did it take place only after I did separately Midam HaPar, Midam HaSoyer on the Karnot? Then I mixed it, and then I went ahead and I did it on the Mizbach. That's the Machlokas. Our Mishnah that says, Eira Dam HaPar L'toch Dam HaSair, prior to the din of the Arba Karnot, is obviously going on according to one man, the Yomar, the Itmar. Where is this Machlokas? This machloket, and it's interesting that we're calling it the Itmar, and there's an interesting halacha, I wouldn't say halacha, but interesting historical point that's learned from here. Because Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonatan, who argue about this, are not Amoroim, right? They're Tanoim. Itmar, remember, as opposed to Tnan, is usually a reference to what is called Shmatata. So we have like the Shev Shmatata, or seven different Shmatatot, seven different sugyot that were set over by Amoroyim. Now it's unheard of to call a Machlokas Tanoim Itmar, because the very fact that it's a Machlokas Tanoim should be the Tanya, right? So it's fascinating. There's a Machlokas here. We've shown him exactly how to understand this, but the Ritva learns a overall concept from here. And he learns like this, that the very fact that you have a machlokas tanoim does not ipso facto define that as a braita. Because remember, the braitot were all organized. We had separate collection of braitot, but they were organized collections. If a machlokas tanoim was not put into a braita by one of the organizing batei midrashim that would do this, and we had, of course, the maximum was Reb Chiya, who went over all the braitot, but we find many, Tanadevei Levi, Tanadevei Reb Shmuel, all over the place, right? So if it wasn't included in one of the organized sets of braitot, says the Ritva, you see from here that it's still called Itmar, and that Itmar is not fundamentally a difference between tanoim and amoroyim. It's just that it happens to be that 90% of the time when we're quoting Tanoim, they are part of the way that we preserve their teaching was that it was part of a Braita that was taught as an organized Braita. But in this case where it wasn't, so why would we say Tanya? It's not Tanya. It's Itmar. Fascinating, right? Okay, it's a beautiful aside. Anyway, so there is a Machlokas Tanoim between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonatan about whether we do the Iruv Adam for the Karnota Mizbeach or not. Chadamar Me'arvin, the Chadamar Ein Me'arvin. So that each one is done on its own. Par, and then Sawyer, the same way we did in the Lifnai V'Lifnim and in the Hecha. Now, it doesn't say over here who said what. Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonatan, it doesn't say who said what. We'd like to discover, as we often do, who said what, to get things sharper. And therefore, we say, Tistayem de Rabbi Yoshia Udi Amar Ma'arvim. I think that we can conclude that it was Rabbi Yoshia who is the one who says that you are Ma'arvim. Why? Because remember, we have this fascinating question about if something is written as a grouping and it doesn't say Yachdav, right? So does it mean together or does it mean each one separately? Now, it's Rabbi Yoshia who is the one that says that afagav de loch tiv yachdav, we always assume that it's yachdav. So when it says over here, es dama par ve dama sa'ir, it doesn't say yachdav. But nonetheless, Rabbi Yoshia's general approach is that that's the equivalent of saying yachdav. Now, the classic machlokas about this issue is the pasuk that talks about ish, Asher yikalel et aviv ve'et imo, mot yumat. Now, what does that mean? That he was mikalel both parents, mot yumat, or either parent? So now, I mean, we know, obviously, lahalacha means either parent. But the question is, how do we know that? So the pasuk continues on to say, aviv ve'imo kilel damav bo. So therefore, since Rabbi Yoshia says over there, how do we know that even if you're just Bekalel one parent, that you would be over? Because why else would the Torah have to repeat Aviv Imo Kilel Damav Bo, other than to put the word Kilel at the first part of the Pasuk, Asher Yikalel at Aviv, and then in the last part of the Pasuk, Imo Kilel, to tell me that either one is sufficient to be B'chayev Mot Yumat, either Aviv Kilel, Imo Kilel, which means that according to Rabbi Yoshia, if it wouldn't have said that, then we would have been forced to conclude that despite the fact that it doesn't say together, it means together. That's Rabbi Yoshia's sheet over there. Now, Rabbi Yonatan says over there, not true. Because when the Torah means together, it says together. As it says, Lo tacharosh b'shor uvechamor yachdav. Why doesn't it just say, Lo tacharosh b'shor uvechamor? Because then I would have said that that means you cannot do harisha either with a shor or with a chamor. So I have to tell you yachdav. Okie dokie. So what does that tell us? That according to Rabbi Yoshia, even without yachdav, I assume it means together. And therefore, that would be the case over here. It says dama par, dama seir. It doesn't say yachdav. It means together. And that concludes it. No? No. No, says the Gemara. Because in this case, you could say it's even going according to Rabbi Yonatan. And the reason that I could say that even Aliba to Rabbi Yonatan, that aloha might be that you do only one time with the blood mixed of both the par and the sa'ir, that's because of another pasuk. Remember, v'chiper Aharon al karnotav achat b'shana midam chatat kippurim. So then that means achat b'shana, only once a year is blood put onto the mizbech hazahav. Whereas if you're going to tell me that I have to do separately from the par and the sa'ir, then it's twice a year. So since it says achat, in this case, Rabbi Yonatan would be moda, that obviously we're going to have to say that we mix it before. So I still don't know who said what. Now, Lamaisa, the Braita, says the opposite of what we thought. We thought it was Rabbi Yoshia, and it was actually Rabbi Yonatan, according to the Braita, who says that you have to mix the dam before putting on the kronot. And that is as follows. The Tanya Doloki Shinuyan, the opposite of what we made the assumption was, V'lakach midama paru midama sa'ir, that teaches us shiyihiyumo ravim, divrei Rabbi Yoshia. So Dafkets Rabbi Yoshia, who says that we should mix them together before we put them onto the Karnot HaMizbeach. And it's Rabbi Yonatan who says, no, you do each one by itself. So actually, it's the way that the opposite of what we had just finished saying, and that it's Rabbi Yoshia who holds that you mix, Rabbi Yonatan who holds that it's separate. Omar lo Rabbi Yoshia, how can you hold that it's separate? Doesn't it say achat b'shana? Omar lo Rabbi Yonatan, and how can you hold that it's done? That it's done, actually, and together. Doesn't it say midama par umidama sa'ir, which means that each one is done together? So how do I understand the fact that it says achat? It says achat to teach me achat velo shtayim from the dama par, and achat velo shtayim from the dama sa'ir. So that is still true. I'm telling you, you cannot do it again. That's absolutely the case, but you do have to do once from each. So therefore, it turns out that according to Rabbi Yoshia, achas means in total, and according to Rabbi Yonatan, it means separately. Fine. And that would mean, if we learn the other braita, Tanya Idach, v'lakach midama paro midama sa'ir, we'll just get to the two dots here, v'lakach midama paro midama sa'ir, it says over here in the braita stam, shiyu moravim sebeze. This means before you put them on the Karnot HaMizbeach, you are going to be mixing them. Ata omer shiyu moravim sebeze. O eno elo mize bifne atzmo, mize bifne atzmo. Talmud lomar v'chiper achat b'shana. And this braita, obviously, would be stomach Rabbi Yoshia. This is according to the way that we just understand Rabbi Yoshia saying only once a year.